Joey V is with us now on the Broad and Crouppen Celebrity Line on 101 ESPN. He's always with us on Teach Us Tuesday. How you doing, sir?
You know, it's funny, BT. I'm doing good, boys. That Jupiter planet that you're referring to, I didn't listen before. I apologize. But, you know, everyone knows it for that great red spot, which I don't know if you guys knew this or not. That is it's basically a hurricane. It's a storm. It's a circulating storm on Jupiter. Get this. It's a hurricane that's been going for over 340 years. So I don't want to hear anyone complain next rainstorm when it rains for 2 days in a row and people are on the porch like, oh my God, when is the storm going to end? There is a hurricane on Jupiter that's like the size of our planet, I think. Maybe not quite that big. But it's been going on for almost 400 years. So let's just relax.
That's amazing. That's kind of had to have caused billions of dollars worth of damage.
I wonder if they named it after a woman.
I'm sure they did.
If not, we'll do it for them. Chances are.
Well, hey, you said that.
I didn't say. I that was Ron. Hey, I was mentioning this.
Oh, I definitely didn't
Jupiter
say that. Wait, who would have named the
coming into it? Joey, did you realize? I know you know that Jupiter is huge. Did you realize that if the Earth were a grape, Jupiter would be the size of a basketball? Like, that's how much bigger it is. That's nuts to me.
I mean, BT, I love when we can break things down to simpler ideas, because I knew Jupiter was big. I knew it was by far the biggest planet, and I knew that if you stuff all the planets together, you know, you kind of did that thing. I heard that too. But when you break it down to simple forms for me, that's where I really kind of like, it wows you. A
me
grape
too,
and a basketball. I mean, that's drastic. There's also a comparison for the entire existence of our universe and time. They kind of break it down to a day, if that makes any sense at all. So if you look at when Earth and the Big Bang and everything started to where humans came into play and where you're at right now, I think it's like if you break it down to a day, at 11:58 p.m. or with like 20 seconds to go or something, that's where the humans came into the picture with all of like existence of everything. I mean, and then you're just one little person in this whole human existence, which only makes up like a couple seconds of the entire existence of everything. And then it helps me because every now and then I'll feel sorry for myself and I'll think, oh my God, my problems are as big as this world. And I realize, geez, I'm just some really small piece in this gigantic, enormous puzzle.
Joey, I want to get your take on this. We all took practice Wunderlich tests today. And one of the questions was, which has the largest diameter? And the Wunderlich people said the correct answer was the sun. And I'm thinking that unless you can walk on it, if the temperature would be 60 degrees, you can't measure it. There is no diameter to the sun because it's a gas.
Yes, it is a gas, Randy, and a great gas because it keeps us alive.
Yes.
Yikes. I mean, how do they come up with this? Like, it was something the other day. I mean, we got to start coming up with our facts a little bit better. Someone said the other day, Randy, and it's all off topic, but kind of the same topic about proving what we're saying. Someone had a kidney stone the other day, and out of nowhere, someone's like, oh, I heard those are more powerful than, those are more painful than a shark bite. Now, what person got bit by a shark and also had a kidney stone and said, okay, I would kind of like say this was this painful and that, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how was your kidney stone? And on a scale of 1 to 10, how about that shark bite a couple years ago? I mean, what are we saying anymore? What are we talking about?
Incredible.
Maybe it has something to do with the amount of nerves in your leg versus your kidneys. I have no idea how you'd reach that conclusion, Joe.
I mean, I've never had a kidney stone. I certainly have never been bitten by a shark, although if I am to go out soon, that would probably be the way to go. But I would imagine from strictly a fear standpoint, the shark bite's got to be way worse. Although it's like, it's so fearful, but at least it's like a Band-Aid. Rip it off.
Hey.
You know, but then a kidney stone's got a lot further to go, especially for men. So that could be like a long-lasting pain. So I don't know.
We've got an NHL team called the Sharks. We don't have an NHL team called the Kidney Stones.
You're doggone right, Randy. So I would say that the Sharks are more feared. Doggone right, buddy.
Joey, I have no idea what we would do if, in fact, you were not a wealth of all kinds of knowledge. We appreciate that. And if we don't tell you enough, we really do. So thank you.
Guys, I appreciate it. I will say I'm learning a lot, especially over these last few weeks. You know, sitting down with the kids' book, too. I mean, there's so many amazing facts. I'm learning about mutations with my daughters in physics and science and chemistry. And it's just amazing. We take so much for granted. Like, I'm thinking about the polar bears, for example, these white bears. Why are they white bears up north? It really was simple. You know, hundreds of thousands of millions of years ago, all the bears were brown. And then something happened. A mutation happened where a mama bear's with its brown, the baby came out white. And it was just a simple mutation. Both mom and dad were brown. It just came out white. And then that happened again. And it happened again. And as bears started migrating further north, more white bears were being made as well as the brown bears. But then guess what? One bear up north where the Arctic is and the ice is white was better camouflaged than the other. You're right. You guessed right. It's the white bear. So what happened? More brown bears died off because they couldn't sneak up on their prey when the white bears were more camouflaged. And so they were able to survive longer than the brown bears. So that's why you see brown bears down south, and that's where the white bears stayed up north. I mean, little things like that. We live in a fascinating world, don't we?
Yes. Hey, do you think that first brown bear mom had some explaining to do?
Hey.
Well, I mean, probably, hey. Right? Like, whoa, that's hey. Not my boy. That's hey. Not my boy. Hey, hey. I do want to ask you kind of a hockey question, all right? And it's not specifically like Blues right here, right now. Not much to report, chances are. But we've been caught up watching that The Last Dance documentary, the Michael Jordan one. Have you watched any of that over the weekend?
I've watched bits and pieces, okay. Bits and pieces.
Well, it got me thinking about, like, I was watching that, and I was just watching how, it was bringing back memories of just how great Michael is, and then it got me thinking about, like, some of the greatest guys, players that I've played alongside, where you just watch them, and you're like, good God, you are impressive. Albert Pujols came to mind. Watching him is just, for me, it was, looking back especially, an honor to play alongside him. I was wondering for you, man, guys that you played alongside, on the same team, or even against, who gave you that, like, wow factor when you were playing?
You know, of course, there are a bunch of names that come to mind as far as playing, but I guess to answer that question, BT, I would almost say, what player or what team would I like to see on a documentary like that that was just impressive? And for me as a kid, watching Mario Lemieux play the game of hockey was just truly remarkable. And then the evolution of getting to know Mario, because he was obviously part owner in Pittsburgh when I played there, getting to know him personally, and then just overlooking his career and how just amazing he actually was. I mean, Wayne Gretzky is the greatest hockey player of all time, but to me, right underneath is Gordie Howe and Mario Lemieux. But it's the way he played the game with just, it was effortless. Like, I played alongside Sidney Crosby for 5 years. I watch what he does day in and day out. The guy doesn't stop working. He works at everything. He never leaves the gym, every drill to perfection. I hear stories of Mario Lemieux. Mario was the opposite. Mario hardly worked much at all. Scottie Bowman was one of the first coaches to implement morning skates before games. And Mario said, I'm not going to do that. And he said, well, you at least need to touch the ice. And this is a true story. Mario Lemieux said, well, I'm not going to go touch the ice. He goes, Mario, listen, you're part of this team. You're going to touch the ice. It's a rule for everyone. I need you to comply. Mario puts on his skates, puts on his gloves one morning, puts a towel around his neck, steps on the ice, takes one slap shot, and salutes Scottie Bowman and gets off the ice. I mean, that is what he did. And then he went out that night and someone said, I think it was Phil Bork, tell me the story, and he scored a hat trick. The point is, Mario did it with such effortlessness, that's definitely not a word, but he would just slice through people with such precision, and it's almost like he wasn't even trying. To me, that's what made him so remarkable. There's also a legendary story, whether this is true or not, I've heard from multiple people that it is, I've never asked Mario directly, where he lived, it was so cold, and his parents, I think it was his mom, flooded his living room. They flooded the living room and kind of closed off that part of the house, and he just skated around his living room all winter long. I mean, things like that, stories like that, I think would make a tremendous documentary.
By the way, effortlessness is a word. I don't know if there's a word that bothers you guys. The word that's not a word that bothers me is lackadaisical. You can be lax, or you can be lackadaisical, but there is no such word as lackadaisical.
There's no such word. And you know what? And it's official. No one knows how to spell the word definitely.
Dude. No. That is a huge problem for me.
It is. It's an unspellable word.
Yes. Definitely yeah. is how you spell it, right?
Yes.
I think
definitely. Is there is it L E Y yeah. or is it L Y?
E L Y.
Definitely. I think.
Oof. Just you know how to spell definite.
I'm not confident.
You know how to spell definite. Definite, and then add the L Y at the end.
See, I just feel like it should be L E Y. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know why.
A judgment for me is J U D J E M E N T or J U D J. M-E-N-T. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, the other one, too, conscious. Like yep. to be, like, it's conscience. Like, how does that make any sense?
Conscience or conscious? Yeah, exactly. Joey,
exactly.
We always love having you on because you always teach us something. Thank you very much.
Thanks, boys. I learned a lot from you today as well. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks. That is our buddy Joey Vitale. He is the analyst for the Blues, and he'll be on This Week in Hockey tonight with Chris Kerber and Alex Ferrario here on 101 ESPN. Coming up, despite the stay-at-home order, Missouri and Illinois have something going for them that many other states just don't have. That's next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.